The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
What's up, party people? It is Matthew Berry here, of course, host of the Fantasy Focus 06010 and the Fantasy Show over on ESPN Plus. And by popular demand, a lot of people were asking if we were going to do it this year. So me and the Secret Squirrel got together. We decided to do this. It is another Books on Tape and another audio book version, another I read it to you version of my column, if you will. Before we get to 100 facts you need to know before you draft, couple of items that are important to let you know, a couple of announcements, if you will. First off, Fantasy Focus, the 06010, heading to Detroit on Tuesday, July 30th. If you would like, tickets go on sale Wednesday, July 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can purchase them LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster.com, or at StAndrewsDetroit.com. All three places get you to the Fantasy Focus 06010. Just what do you search for, Secret Squirrel?
What do you search for? You just search for, you know, topless photos of me, I guess.
Specifically, if you'd like to go to the show.
Oh, just, I thought you meant in general, like when you went
on Google,
normally search
like
for.
To go
sorry,
the show,
I just have
you're
a favorite.
No, yeah, I got Live that. Nation or StAndrewsDetroit.com, where you search what? For ESPN, for Fantasy
you
Focus?
You search Fantasy Focus Football.
There you go. So you do that. In addition, even more important than our dumb live show over there in Detroit, where we're going to make fun of Daniel in front of all of his friends and family. We've got some amazing experiences for the V Foundation for cancer research. Once again, 100% of all proceeds goes to cancer research. F cancer. So, look, here's what you get. Go and check this out. But we've got a Fantasy Focus package where you can sit in a taping of the podcast. You get to come to the Fantasy Show as well. You'll play in a league with Daniel and Stefania. And you can watch an NFL game with myself and the whole gang. So that'll be fun. A Thursday night game. We'll go to a local bar and we'll just hang out and shoot the breeze. So that's one. There's another experience where you can come to the Fantasy Football Summit here in Bristol, Connecticut. Just after the NFL draft, every single year for 2 days, we get together, all the NFL people, all the fantasy people. We argue it. We hash it out. We do mock drafts. It's 2 days of unbelievable, great fantasy nerding out, and you can be a fly on the wall for that. You'll get to see a mock draft in the NFL Live studio. You'll watch a taping of the podcast or watch a live taping of my TV show. You get a tour of ESPN HQ as well. Pretty cool stuff. Here's another one. You got a league? I'm sure you got a league. If you're listening to this, you got a league. You and up to 11 other people can hold your draft. You heard me. You can hold your draft here at ESPN HQ in beautiful Bristol, Connecticut. You can literally be in the 06010. And myself and Field and Stefania, Daniel, Mike Clay, we're all going to just host you guys. And I will be your sticker bitch. That's right. I will be the one putting the stickers on the, on the draft board for you. So that'll be fun. And we hang out. We'll take a photo. You take a tour of this, of ESPN as well. It's a great day. We'll cater it the whole nine yards. A lot of fun. An amazing once-in-a-lifetime experience. You can bid on that. And then here's the biggie. This is incredible. You can bid to make a live appearance on my TV show. So you can come on my TV show. And then you can also, we will make a puppet out of your likeness. So there'd be like a puppet version of you that we use on the show. Get better than that. You can be immortal in felt. There's nothing like felt immortality. And now is your chance to do that. Get a tour of ESPN as well, and you yourself will actually appear on camera with me as well on the Fantasy Show. So let's do that. Again, 100% of all proceeds go to cancer research and the V Foundation. Just go to eBay and search for ESPN on there, or you can go to ESPN.com/fantasy, and there's a link right there. You can't miss it. It's now through July 10th. The auction is up now. It's live, and it's through July 10th. So make sure you get your bids in and win these. Tax deductible, 100% goes to cancer research. It couldn't get better than that. All right. Time now for the column that appeared on ESPN.com just a couple of days ago. 100 facts you need to know before you draft. Written by Matthew Berry. Here we go. I was broke. All right. So I wasn't broke in the I don't know where my next meal is coming from sense, but broke in the I am unemployed and certainly don't have any extra money to spend on anything frivolous kind of way. Like, for a website I had just started. It was summer of 2005, and I had recently quit my screenwriting job to try to make a go of the small fantasy sports website I had started the year before, TalentedMrRoto.com. With no real job to speak of, I had to save whatever money I needed to, you know, to live, which meant I couldn't spend any money to promote the website. I realized the only way I could promote the website was by doing it myself. So I went on any radio station that would have me. I wrote for free for any website that would link to my new site. I was just trying to get any kind of promotion I can. During that I'll take any gig phase, I did a few TV things as well, including a pilot, which is basically a sample show, for a fantasy football TV show. So we're shooting the pilot, right? And there was a former NFL player on the show to do, you know, the X's and O's and argue with me, the fantasy nerd. So at one point, this is 2005, at one point we got to Carson Palmer of the Cincinnati Bengals, who at that point was entering his second NFL season. And the ex-player, he sang his praises, saying how much he loved Carson's big arm, the weapons in Cincinnati like Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh, championship. I then agreed with the ex-player, right? I said I agreed with him. I said I thought the team's offensive plans, I liked what they were planning on doing. I thought in his second year, Palmer would definitely improve and ultimately have a nice fantasy season. I had liked what Palmer had done in his rookie season and how he'd progressed throughout the year. Carson Palmer going into 2005 was a sleeper for me. And just like that, they yelled, cut, cut, what are you doing? Cut, cut, cut. Producer comes out and he apologizes. He had misread his notes and he thought I was actually going to trash Palmer. Could we do it again? He asked, and he looked at the former player and the former player nodded. Okay, so we do it again. And then the former player, without missing a beat, starts trashing Palmer with no sense of irony. He explained that he didn't like Palmer's decision making. He didn't like his footwork. He said Palmer still had a lot of work to do. He wasn't ready yet and not someone to draft in fantasy this year. And then I said the same thing. I disagreed and said, well, no, I like the guy. I think the weapons and the offense, I think he's a sleeper this year. I talked him up. The producer nodded and smiled and we moved on to the next player. It was in that moment I realized it's all a show. It's a total crock. I don't know what I thought before, but I now knew all of it was BS. It was like this true eye-opening moment, right? It dawned on dumb me that I had no idea what this ex-player actually thought of Carson Palmer. But the one thing I did get was that this guy could make stats and analysis say whatever he needed to make the show the most entertaining, at least in the eyes of the producer. That show, thankfully, never made it to air 2 years later. I wound up at ESPN in 2007. But that experience taught me an incredibly valuable lesson because I realized it wasn't just the ex-player who could make stats say whatever he wanted. So could I. And so could anyone else. I took that knowledge, and later that fall, I wrote the very first version of this column. This is year 14 now, and often imitated, never duplicated. It's always the first column I write, or in this case, read, every fantasy football season. And I do so for a few very specific reasons. One, it's among my favorite columns to write. As I drag myself off the beach, back to the dungeon, and to my blank screen, it helps to have an old friend to start with. Much more important than that, it is because this column is crucial to read first, or at least listen to first, before you do any other research, so that you fully understand what you're actually looking at once you start to prep for the 2019 fantasy football season. Because, and this is important, class, so pay attention, your fantasy football success this year is not going to be based on how much you research, okay? Much more important to your season is actually how you interpret whatever you research. Consider the case of two quarterbacks, okay? Quarterback A has, well, to be kind, no business being a starting NFL quarterback. That's right. That's my nice way to describe him. Oh, don't get me wrong. He led the NFL in some categories, like off-target throws. Yep. No one had a higher percentage of off-target throws last season. You want bad stats? I got bad stats. He was among the two worst qualifying quarterbacks in yards per pass attempt, touchdown to interception ratio, and interception percentage, resulting in a bottom two rank in both overall and deep passer rating. On a per-game basis, this guy was a bottom-five quarterback in passing yards, passing touchdowns, passing attempts. He never threw for more than 245 yards in a game last season. He had just two games with multiple touchdown passes. And this guy is injury-prone, as he's missed at least four games in every season he's played in the NFL. No doubt in large part because of his own putrid play. He's on a brutal offense that last year was third worst in the NFL in offensive points per game, third worst in third down conversion percentage, and fourth worst in total QBR. So yeah, you can draft this guy, but then you need to ask yourself, what did your fantasy team ever do to you? Meanwhile, quarterback B is a fantasy rock star in the making. Per Tristan H. Cockcroft's great consistency rankings, our guy was tied for sixth in star games, which means a top two finish at his position for the week, giving him as many or more dominant games last year than Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, and Matt Ryan. I love his big arm. He led the NFL in ADOT, average depth of target. And it's only going to get better this season. His team added an elite speed receiver whose NFL career average of 15 yards per catch is 18th among 113 qualified wide receivers over the past 5 years, better than players like Tyreek Hill and A.J. Green, among others. But it's not just about deep balls, as the team also added a great possession guy this offseason, a player who, since 2014, is top seven in the NFL in slot touchdowns and slot fantasy points, and second in reception percentage among the 33 wide receivers with at least 250 catches in that span. All this gives QBB even more weapons, which is awesome and only adds to the excitement over a guy who can single-handedly win you a week. He scored at least 26 fantasy points in 36% of his starts last year. Only Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan had higher rates. More mobile than he gets credit for. Did you know our guy quietly had seven different runs of 25-plus yards last season, which was second only to Saquon Barkley? He could run even more this season, which means this dual-threat quarterback is ready to once again crush for you. So, which quarterback do you want this year? Realize that everything I just said about each player is totally true. Which one do you want? Go ahead and pick. Choice is obvious, right? I mean, come on. You have to feel confident one of these players is poised to have a significantly better season than the other. Am I right? Well, since you know which one you want, you can go ahead and choose. Wait, actually, give me a second. Before you answer, I think you should know one other fact. Quarterback A is Buffalo's Josh Allen. Quarterback B is Buffalo's Josh Allen. Yeah. You see, I can make stats say anything I want. I can talk up or talk down any player I want. I just have to choose the right stats for the job, just like that former NFL player did on that pilot that I talked about. Or I can just ask my friends Thirsty Kyle Soppy from the Fantasy Focus 0601 podcast or Damian Dabrowski, the Statapillar from the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, to get me the right stat, which I did while writing various points of this column. Everything you are about to hear is an accurate statistical statement, a heavily researched, well thought out, 100% true, can't be argued with, fully vetted fact. These facts tell only part of the story, the part of the story I want you to see, right? The part that supports whatever opinion I have of a player, the opinion I want to try to convince you of. In both quarterback profiles that I just read, right, I purposely left out that Josh Allen led the NFL in QB rushing touchdowns. He was second in QB rushing yards. He led his team in carries from week 12 on and was the number one quarterback in fantasy for the season's final 6 weeks. I left this information out of the first one because I wanted to make him look as bad as possible. I left that information out of the second one because his rushing was so absurd. I mean, the guy had 8 rushing touchdowns in 12 games as a quarterback that I thought it would give it away as to which player I was talking about. So I hyped up Josh Allen's fantasy points without telling you how he got them, and I found 2 stats to try to sell John Brown and Cole Beasley, who are the speed guy and the slot guy that they signed this year. Yeah. You see, there's very little, I promise you this, there is very little in this world I'm actually good at. But one thing that I'm a world-class master at, manipulating stats to tell the story I want. And guess what? I'm not the only one. Everyone does it. Some do it better than others, but everyone does it. They do it in fantasy football analysis, they do it in politics, pop culture, office presentations, and happy hour debates. Everyone tells you the stats or the side of the story that supports what they think. But they don't tell you the whole story. And that might be the most important thing you learn about fantasy football research all season. I'm going to repeat it because it's that important. No matter what you read, hear, write, or watch, it is not the whole story. It's why I start my analysis off every year with this column, and why I start this column off every year with the same message and the same confession. Because it's that important. Nothing is black and white. It's all shades of gray. And as you go through this preseason, and frankly, life, you'll have countless analysts give you all sorts of reasons to trust their opinion. Why this player is awesome and this one is a bum, and why you need that guy but must avoid another one. It's all just opinions. Facts and stats and snippets of game film parsed to show you the side that supports their opinion. And only that opinion. Look, we're in an era of information overload. I work for a 24/7, 365 sports news and information media company that has multiple around-the-clock cable channels, a radio network, a direct-to-consumer platform in ESPN+, a popular website, and two apps, the ESPN app and the ESPN Fantasy app. Download them today. Both will send you alerts and keep you up to date on any stat, trend, news, highlight, and piece of content you could ever possibly want to be aware of at any given time. I mean, hell, think about me, right? I have a daily podcast that will be streamed live on camera in multiple places and a daily TV show. There will be many digital video clips of both shows every day. I'm on social media everywhere, and I have rankings, columns, and during the season, a three-hour TV show on Sundays before kickoff. And that's just dumb me, right? There are tons of very smart men and women out there analyzing fantasy football and specific NFL players' value in this game from every possible angle. Whether it's on ESPN, many other media companies, websites, podcasts, radio shows, blogs, Twitter, we're all talking and writing and arguing and tweeting and performing and blah, 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 blah. Ugh. Your job is to watch the games, to do the research, to figure out which analysts you trust and whose thinking aligns with yours. Question everyone and everything you hear many times over. Take it all in and then make your own call. Because ultimately, that's all any of us are doing, especially me, taking a small piece of a big picture, making a call. Everything that follows is completely accurate. Some of it's about players. Some of it is about coaches. Not a damn bit of it tells the whole story. These are 100 facts you need to know before you draft. What you do with them is up to you. If you took 15 touchdown passes away from Patrick Mahomes last season, he still would have been the number one quarterback in fantasy. Or if you took away 950 passing yards and 6 touchdown passes. Or 1,000 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. Or 62 fantasy points. He still would have finished as the number one quarterback in fantasy. The connection of Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill last year scored 2.168 points per target. 2.168. Patrick Mahomes to all other Chiefs scored 2.052 points per target. That's important. 2.052 per target, all of the Chiefs. Matt Ryan was the number two quarterback in fantasy last season. He averaged 1.942 points per target, less than 2.052. Since 2004, there have been 6 instances in which a quarterback threw 40-plus touchdown passes and was not hurt the following season, right? 6 instances. Every single one of them regressed in terms of fantasy points the following year. The average of their drop in production was 16.39%. If Patrick Mahomes' point total from last season dropped by 16.39%, he still would have finished with 348.7 points. Among quarterbacks last season, only Patrick Mahomes and Matt Ryan scored more than 348.7 points. In Andy Reid's final decade in Philadelphia, 2003 to 2012, his Eagles ranked 5th in the NFL in quarterback fantasy points. Only the Packers, Patriots, Saints, and Colts were better. He had 273.76 fantasy points per season. That was the average. In 2012, the Chiefs' final season before Reid, they ranked dead last in quarterback points with 122.58. For reference, last year's Arizona Cardinals quarterback scored 136 points. Like, that's how bad the Chiefs were before Andy Reid got there. They were worse than the Cardinals last year in terms of QB fantasy points. And then from 2013 to 2017, basically the Andy Reid pre-Patrick Mahomes era for the Chiefs, they scored 264.96 quarterback fantasy points per season. It's a lot of numbers I just threw at you. So in essence, 9 fantasy points less per season than he did when he was in Philadelphia. Unbelievable. Only 3 quarterbacks in NFL history have passed for 4,000 yards and rushed for 500 yards in a single season. Cam Newton in 2011, Russell Wilson in 2015, and Deshaun Watson in 2018. We all talk about Mahomes, but I don't think how people realize what Deshaun Watson did last year, coming back from that injury, too. In Week 9 of last season, Freddie Kitchens took over the play-calling duties for the Cleveland Browns. From Week 9 on last year, Baker Mayfield led the NFL in deep completions per game. He was second in yards per attempt. He was second in deep attempts per game. He was 10th in QB fantasy points. And he just added Odell Beckham Jr. to his team and has had a full offseason in Freddie Kitchens' offense. In 2014, Eli Manning's first year playing with Beckham, Manning scored 99.2 more fantasy points than he did the year before. Again, Beckham's rookie year added 99 fantasy points to Eli Manning. If you added 99 fantasy points to Baker Mayfield's total from last year, he would have been the 4th best quarterback in fantasy. Last year, Baker Mayfield had a 5.6% touchdown rate that ranked 11th. Eli Manning's touchdown rate over the past 3 seasons, 3.8%, ranked 31st. Last year, there were 14 quarterbacks who had at least 3 games of 25-plus points, including Kirk Cousins and Ryan Fitzpatrick. None of those 14 were named Russell Wilson. In his first 3 NFL seasons, Wilson rushed for 11 touchdowns and averaged 102.7 carries per season. In his 4 NFL seasons since, Wilson has run for just 5 touchdowns total. 5 touchdowns in 4 years total in terms of rushing for Russell Wilson. And he's averaged 84.3 carries per season. From 2012 to 2017, Russell Wilson averaged 0.501 fantasy points per pass and had a 5.7 touchdown percentage. In 2018, last year, Russell Wilson averaged 0.618 fantasy points per pass and had a touchdown percentage of 8.2. In other words, his 2018 season, despite Seattle leading the NFL in rush percentage, represented a 23.4% spike in points per pass and a 43.9% spike in percentage of passes, resulting in a touchdown. Meanwhile, Doug Baldwin retired during the offseason. From the time Amari Cooper joined the Cowboys until the end of the year, Dak Prescott was 8th in the NFL in passing yards. He was 5th in completion percentage and 9th in QB fantasy points. Prescott has 6 rushing touchdowns in 3 straight years, and he's currently being drafted as QB12 on ESPN.com in the 11th round. In his 9 starts last year, Jameis Winston averaged 4.6 deep completions and 11.1 deep attempts per game. Both would have led the NFL if he qualified. For reference, Mahomes led the NFL with a 4.2 deep completions per game, and Mayfield led with 8.8 deep attempts per game. In case there were too many numbers, basically, if Jameis Winston had qualified, his deep completions per game and his deep attempts per game would have led the NFL. Better than Mahomes, better than Baker Mayfield. In those 9 starts last year, Jameis Winston averaged 294.2 passing yards per game. That would have been 4th most among all quarterbacks last year, behind only Ben Roethlisberger, Patrick Mahomes, and Matt Ryan. Since the start of 2017, Jameis Winston has 11 games with at least 300 yards passing. It's tied for 3rd most. The only 3 quarterbacks with more such games in that span are Jared Goff, who had 13, Matt Ryan, who has 12, and Ben Roethlisberger, who has 12. Winston, once again, has 11. However, Matt Ryan has started 32 games in that span, Big Ben and Goff, 31. Winston has started just 22. In other words, over the past 2 years, Jameis Winston has thrown for at least 300 yards in half of his starts. Last season, Jameis Winston threw for a league-high 10.7 air yards per pass attempt. From 2013 to 2017, the Arizona Cardinals under Bruce Arians were 2nd in air yards per pass attempt. Bruce Arians is now coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Alvin Kamara is one of 10 players with 80-plus catches in each of the past 2 years. The rest of the list includes 8 wide receivers and Christian McCaffrey. Last season, Kamara became only the 3rd player in NFL history with consecutive seasons of 700-plus rushing yards and 700-plus receiving yards. The other two are Marshall Faulk and Herschel Walker. Like, that's what we're talking about with this kid. Unbelievable. Last season, weeks 1 through 4, without Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara averaged 22.8 touches per game, 152.8 yards per game, and 34 fantasy points per game. In fact, Kamara's had 17 career games in which he's received at least 15 touches. In those games, he's averaging 26 fantasy points per game. Last year, Todd Gurley was the number one running back on a per-game basis with 26.6 fantasy points per game. Mark Ingram is now with the Baltimore Ravens. Last season, in games in which Dalvin Cook was active, Latavius Murray averaged 7.5 touches per game. Since 2016, there have been only 5 instances in which a player was responsible for at least 70% of his team's carries. Todd Gurley in 2016, Le'Veon Bell in 2017, Saquon Barkley in 2018, and the past 2 seasons that David Johnson's been healthy, 2016, 2018. With Cliff Kingsbury as the head coach at Texas Tech from 2013 to 2018, the Red Raiders passed 61.5% of the time. That was the 2nd highest rate in FBS. In fact, during Kingsbury's tenure, Texas Tech running backs caught 363 passes. That was 10th most. The Red Raiders were actually 6th in FBS in running back receptions in 2018, last year. In his past 2 healthy seasons, David Johnson has averaged 65 receptions and 275 carries. He has scored in 55.1% of his career NFL games. That's the 4th highest rate since he entered the league, minimum 30 games played, and includes his rookie season when DJ was mostly a backup. As of this writing, David Johnson is being drafted in the 2nd round of ESPN leagues. Since Andy Reid took over as head coach in Kansas City in 2013, Chiefs running backs have ranked top 4 in the NFL in yards per carry, rushing touchdowns, yards before first contact per rush, red zone rushing touchdowns, yards per catch, red zone targets, receiving touchdowns, and fantasy points. In the 6 games Damian Williams got double-digit touches last season, including the playoffs, he averaged 24.4 fantasy points per game. Last season, 24.4 fantasy points per game would have ranked 3rd, just ahead of Christian McCaffrey. During those 6 games, Williams averaged 1.39 fantasy points per touch. Some other 2018 fantasy points per touch rates: Alvin Kamara 1.29, Melvin Gordon 1.22, Christian McCaffrey 1.18, Todd Gurley 1.18, Saquon Barkley 1.10. All of them, again, less than Damian Williams' 1.39 fantasy points per touch that he averaged in the 6 games where he got the majority of work for Kansas City. In fact, in those 6 games, Damian Williams averaged 4.7 catches per game and 4.88 yards per carry. Behind him on the running back depth chart for the Chiefs, 29-year-old Carlos Hyde, who's on his 4th team in 2 years, 2019 6th-round pick Darwin Thompson, and undrafted free agents Darrell Williams, Marcus Marshall, and Josh Caldwell. Williams is currently being drafted as running back 19 in the 5th round on ESPN. In 5 of the 6 years, Adam Gase has been an NFL head coach or offensive coordinator. His teams have been 21st or worse in terms of running back receptions. The 1 year his offense was better than 20th in this category was 2013. That was Denver. Well, when you know, Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdown passes. And even in that season, Denver running backs were just 19th in target share. In 2015, under Adam Gase, Matt Forte averaged just 3.4 catches per game. In the 2 seasons prior to Adam Gase showing up, Matt Forte averaged 5.5 catches per game. During Adam Gase's 3 years in Miami, the Miami Dolphins ranked dead last in offensive snaps per game. In Le'Veon Bell's 2 best fantasy seasons, total points, the Steelers ranked in the top 10 in offensive snaps per game. The only time Le'Veon Bell has played in all 16 games in a season was in 2014. Last season, the Seattle Seahawks ran the ball an NFL high 49.5% of the time. In fact, they've run the ball at the highest rate in the NFL since Russell Wilson came into the NFL. On the run-heaviest team in the NFL last year, Rashad Penny averaged 6.1 carries per game. Last season, in the Seahawks' final 7 games, including the playoffs, Rashad Penny got 0 targets. Meanwhile, on a per-game basis, Only Ezekiel Elliott and Todd Gurley averaged more rushing attempts per game than Chris Carson. Carson lost yardage on just 6.5% of carries. That was the fifth lowest rate among qualified running backs. Last year, there were only three running backs with at least 1,100 rushing yards and nine rushing touchdowns. Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, and Chris Carson. In the nine games that he received at least 15 carries last year, Chris Carson scored eight times. Mike Davis had 146 touches for the Seahawks last year, or 9.7 per game. Mike Davis is now with the Chicago Bears. Last season, despite playing just 14 games, Chris Carson finished as running back 15 in terms of total points. As of this writing, Chris Carson is being drafted as running back 24 in the sixth round on ESPN. In case you couldn't follow those numbers, I'm just pointing out that Mike Davis and his 9.7 touches per game are now in Chicago. So even if Rashad Penny gets them all, there's still a ton of work for Chris Carson. Why does everyone hate Chris Carson? I get the Rashad Penny love, but whatever. Chris Carson's really good and they like him, and they're going to run a ton in Chicago. Fine. Back to the facts. 2017, the New Orleans Saints were 7th in rushing percentage, 10th in red zone rush percentage, 13th in rushes per game, and 1st in rushing touchdowns. In 2018, the Saints, 3rd in rush percentage, 4th in red zone rush percentage, 5th in rushes per game, and, once again, 1st in rushing touchdowns. Only three running backs have scored at least 6 rushing touchdowns in each of the past 4 years. Todd Gurley of the Rams, former Saint Mark Ingram, and new Saint Latavius Murray. As of this taping, Latavius Murray is being drafted as running back 35 in the 11th round. Last season, LeSean McCoy gained 5-plus yards on just 25.5% of carries. Among 47 qualified running backs, only LeGarrette Blount had a worse rate. LeSean McCoy was held to under 70 yards in 10 of 14 games last year. He averaged just 3.2 yards per carry, which ranked him 46th out of 47 qualified running backs. And on a per-game basis, he was just running back 45. From Week 12 on last year, Josh Allen accounted for 53.1% of the Bills' rushing yards. And even Chris Ivory was more efficient than McCoy when running the ball during that span. If you want bad LeSean McCoy stats, have I got bad LeSean McCoy stats for you. Odell Beckham Jr. ranks 3rd in points per deep catch among players with at least 50 deep receptions since he entered the league in 2014. Past 3 years, Eli Manning has a 39% deep completion percentage and a 5% deep touchdown rate, both of them in the bottom third of the NFL. Last season, under the play calling of current head coach Freddie Kitchens, Baker Mayfield ranked 5th in deep completion percentage and 11th in touchdown rate on deep passes. And of course, Eli's numbers are with Odell Beckham, and Baker did that without. This year, Beckham gets Baker. On a per-game basis, last year, Julian Edelman was the 12th best wide receiver in fantasy. He averaged 17.3 fantasy points per game. That was better than T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, and Keenan Allen, among others. He also averaged 1.67 red zone targets per game in 2018. Only Zach Ertz averaged more. In Julian Edelman's past 16 regular season games without Rob Gronkowski, he has 180 targets. He also caught 114 balls for 1,374 yards and 3 touchdowns in those games, which works out to about 269.4 fantasy points. Last season's number 10 wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, scored 266.3 since 2017. Andy Dalton is 31st in completion percentage. He's 27th in deep completion percentage. He's 31st in yards per deep pass. And Week 10 of the 2017 season marks the last time A.J. Green had a 40-yard catch. A.J. Green has missed at least 6 games in 2 of the past 3 years. He's played all 16 games just twice in the last 5, and he turns 31 in July. The top pass catcher, wide receiver, tight end, during the Cam Newton era, 2011 to 2018, has averaged 7.6 targets per game. In DJ Moore's 3 career games with more than 7 targets, he has averaged 19.4 fantasy points per game on a per-game basis. That would have made him wide receiver 7 last year. The first game DJ Moore played more than half of the Panthers' offensive snaps came in Week 8. From that point forward, DJ Moore was a top 20 wide receiver in receptions, receiving yards, yards after the catch, and fantasy points. He was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver from that point on. Devin Funchess and his 80 targets in 15 games last year are now on the Indianapolis Colts. As of this taping, DJ Moore, currently being drafted as wide receiver 28 in the eighth round on ESPN. Over the past 2 years, Evan Engram has played in 14 games without Odell Beckham. In those games, he has averaged 13.8 fantasy points per game, which last year would have made him tight end five on a per-game basis. Last year, Evan Engram played 4 games without Odell Beckham, but with Saquon Barkley. Evan Engram had at least 75 yards in all 4 of those games, and he averaged 16.2 fantasy points per game, which last year would have been good enough to be the 4th best tight end in fantasy on a per-game basis. During the past 4 years, only Tom Brady has thrown more touchdown passes to tight ends than Phillip Rivers. In 2018, O.J. Howard was a top 10 tight end in 7 of his 10 games played. Only Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz were better. Howard had at least 50 yards in 80% of his games last season. Only Kelce and George Kittle had higher rates. Last year, Vance McDonald was the 10th best tight end in fantasy. His 3.8 yards per catch after first contact was 3rd highest in the NFL among all players last year. And last year, the Steelers ranked 8th in tight end targets. The departures of Antonio Brown and Jesse James from the Steelers free up 209 targets from last season. As of this taping, Vance McDonald is being drafted as the 11th tight end in fantasy, 12th round on ESPN. And there you have it, 100 facts you need to know before you draft. Check out the column on ESPN.com. I know it's a lot of numbers, so I think it helps seeing it visually, but hopefully you enjoyed this as well. Be sure to check out rotopass.com if you want. You can use the promo code CHAPIN, C-H-A-P-I-N. Shout out to my boy Field who got married. You can use promo code CHAPIN, C-H-A-P-I-N, for 10% off rotopass.com. It is the ultimate fantasy football resource. You get RotoViz, RotoWire, ESPN Plus for 6 months. You get Football Guys, which is awesome. You get Aaron Chats and Football Outsiders. You get Roster Watch. It's unbelievable. It's like a Netflix for fantasy football. It's more than you ever need, but it's all right there. It starts the day you subscribe. It ends the day after the Super Bowl. So the quicker you subscribe, the more content you get. Check it out. Okay. There you go. Rotopass.com, promo code CHAPIN gets you 10% off. I think that's all I have for you. So thank you, Secret Squirrel. And thank you for listening. Peace out.